Chapter 3. Changes at Home. A few days later, when Winnie and her mother were alone, Winnie's mother said, "I've lived with you and Adolf ever since you got married, and that's long enough. I've decided to rent a room, but I'd like Stevie to stay with you, because I'm too old and too ill to take care of him properly. You know that I worry about Stevie, because he's, well, different from other people, and he can't live alone. He needs you to take care of him." "Adolf and I are happy to have both of you here," Winnie said. "You don't have to leave." "I've made my decision," said Winnie's mother. "The widow of a friend of your dear dead father is renting me a furnished room in her house. It's clean and cheap and all that I need." Winnie didn't like to hear anything about her father. He wasn't dear, she thought. He used to beat Stevie because he was retarded. I'm glad that he died when Stevie was a little boy. The following week, Winnie and Stevie helped their mother move to her new room. They took a horse-drawn cab to the house. Winnie and her mother sat inside the cab, and Stevie sat with the driver. After a few minutes, the horse began to go more slowly, and the driver whipped the horse to make it go faster.
"Don't whip the horse," shouted Stevie. "It's cruel."
The driver laughed.
"The horse is lazy," he said,
and whipped the horse again. Stevie's eyes filled with tears. Suddenly he jumped from the cab and shouted,
"Bad man! Bad man!"
He refused to get back on and walked behind the cab the rest of the way. After helping their mother, Winnie and Stevie returned home. When they walked into the house, Verloc was sitting in the living room staring at the wall. "Are you feeling ill?" Winnie asked Verloc.
"No," he answered. Then he was silent.
Winnie had noticed a change in her husband's behaviour recently. He went for long walks every day, and when he was at home, he stared silently at the wall. Winnie had stopped asking him what he was thinking about, because he never answered. He had even talked in his sleep a few times. One night, she had heard him say the word embassy. When she had asked him about his dream the next morning, Adolf had said that he didn't remember it. Verloc remained silent during dinner, except to ask for something to drink. Stevie got up immediately and brought Verloc a glass of water. Stevie thought Verloc looked sad and wanted him to feel better. He liked his sister's husband. "He doesn't pay much attention to me," Stevie thought. "But at least he doesn't beat me." Later in the evening, Verloc went out of the house without saying a word. He walked slowly for miles, thinking. He had spent most of his time recently walking and thinking. 2 weeks had already passed since his meeting with Vladimir. If he didn't bomb the Greenwich Observatory within the next 2 weeks, he would lose his job at the embassy. Getting the bomb wouldn't be a problem. He, like the anarchists, knew where to get a bomb. He needed a helper, though. "The police mustn't catch me with a bomb in my hand," he thought. "I'm a secret agent. I must make sure that the police can't connect the bomb with the embassy. I need someone to carry the bomb and put it in the observatory." When Verloc returned home, Winnie was still awake. She couldn't sleep because she was worried about Stevie. As soon as Verloc walked in, Winnie said, "Adolf, poor Stevie already misses mother. I wish you would take him on your walks sometimes. He needs more attention, especially from you. He adores you, Adolf. You could do anything with that boy. He would go through fire for you." Verloc looked at his wife in surprise. She had just given him the perfect solution to his problem.